to 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Now, Thessalonians is a great book, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the letters to the church at Thessalonica. So much information and revelation is given in the book of Thessalonians. But in 2 Thessalonians, I want to share for a little bit with you something that's very, very important. And I've shared and ministered along these lines from time to time, because as you hear me say so many times, that faith comes by hearing. Not just having heard, but faith comes by hearing. And we need to constantly be reminded of what God has said and what He is saying to us. We must never forget. Don't allow it to slip. That's one of the cautions that was given to the Hebrew church in the book of Hebrews, not to let the word of God slip. It's easy to hear it and then it slip away from us. Jesus told us in the parable of the sower that the devil wants to steal the word that we have heard. And if anything we need to do today, we need to protect that word that's in our hearts. Amen. Protect the word of God that's in our heart. Because here's what happened. When we don't, then we have a tendency to become weary, sluggish, and sometimes indifferent. It happens, folks, and it happens to Christians. It happens to Christians. Just because you're saved does not mean that you don't have to deal with things. Does not mean that the tempter won't come. We have to stand. And I shared some along this line this past Sunday. Got completely off of what I had planned on sharing with you. But I don't apologize for that, because I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to tell us. But it's easy to become sluggish. It's easy to become weary. And the reason it's so easy is all we have to do is nothing. Just do nothing. Just, you know, stand still and let things happen. Let things get on the inside of you. And that's, you know, as a born-again believer, and I'll share along this line, but I'm not sure if we get there this evening. But One thing the enemy wants to do is to get inside of your head, get in your emotions, get you confused to the point where sometimes if you're not careful, you don't know what to believe anymore. You still with me? And so we want to be careful that we don't allow that to happen. So let me go ahead and read. You have 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Drop down to verse 13. And remember, the Apostle Paul had been talking to the Thessalonian church, especially about things taking place in the end of days, which is where we are right now, the end of days. But one of the things that he told them in verse 13 of the third chapter, 2 Thessalonians, he said, "As for you, brethren," he's talking to the brethren and the sisters, "as for you, do not grow weary in doing good." You see that? Let me read it to you again. "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." Hallelujah. This is not the time to get tired, slow down, pull back. You know, I've heard Christians say this over the years. This is not good to say, but I've heard it said. Probably you have too. "Well, brother, I don't see too much of you anymore. Sister, don't see too much of you anymore. Sister, seem like, or brother, you can be either one. Just seem like you just got something on your mind. There's something on your mind. There's something maybe bothering you. Is there anything? Can I pray with you? Can we sit down and talk and or whatever?" And sometimes this is the response you get. Now, I've had it from time to time over the years. "Well, I'm just pulling back." Anybody ever heard that phrase said to you? Yeah, a few of you have. "I'm just pulling back. I'm just pulling back." Now, wait a minute. Are you pulling back from God, the things of God? Are you pulling back from the people of God? In other words, you are allowing yourself to grow weary. And so now, you know, here's what happened. Listen to me. Here's what happened. And I'm sure that many pastors can testify to the same. Usually when they say, "I'm pulling back," they don't want to get involved in nothing in the church. "Brother, would you like to help us in this area? Sister, would you like to help us in this area? You know, we need some help over here. I'm just pulling back. I'm just pulling back." And usually it's because somebody said something, or they feel like somebody did something. But that's not the time to pull back. That's the time to go forth. And so we see a warning here in the Word of God. I want to read it to you again, and then we move forward. "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." And this is pertaining to the Word of God and the things of God. Everybody say, "things of God."
Thank you, God.
Amen. Things of God. So some people grow weary because of what they like, don't like, or maybe things didn't happen the way they thought they would. So they pull back. And sad to say, some of them are back out in the world. They're not in fellowship. They're out of fellowship with God, and they're out of fellowship with their fellow brothers and sisters. We don't ever want to get to that place. Can I get an amen on that? Don't ever let yourself get to that place where you are out of fellowship with God and you are out of fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. We don't want to get to that place. But now there are some other reasons that people grow weary. They still love God. They're still in church. You know, they're still faithful in church. But they have grown weary. Some of it is because of what they're seeing taking place around them. What they're seeing taking place in this world. And this last week, we've been hearing a whole lot of what's going on in this world. There's a part of this world in Israel and in that area of the world. Right now, they're at war. War have been declared. They are at war. And you hear some of the terrible things that has happened to the folks over there, and you think, oh wow, you know, what's next? What's going to happen next? You can't allow yourself to grow weary over this. You have to first remember what our Lord and Savior told us. He said, these things are going to happen. These things are going to happen. There are going to be wars, and war has been declared, and there are going to be rumors of wars. You know? So, we cannot allow this to affect our faith. Can't allow that to happen. Sometimes folks grow weary, and I've heard them say this, well, you know, I prayed and I sought God and I didn't receive my answer to prayer, or I didn't see things change the way I thought they should change. God didn't do what I thought, what I asked him to do. Well, let's look at an example that Jesus gave. Turn to the book of Luke. The 18th chapter. Luke chapter 18. Now, and I've ministered along this line before, but I want you to pay close attention. Luke 18, beginning at verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You got that? That's what Jesus said. Men ought to always pray. He spoke a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was a certain city, There was in, a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God," we have some folk like that today, don't we? "Nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Verse 6. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." Say speedily. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Hallelujah. Will he really find faith on the earth? Now, what I'd like to do, the guys upstairs work with me on this. I want to go back to verse 1, Luke 18, 1, in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. And I want to just read through this. It says, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and what?
Never give up.
Never quit. There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.'" Verse 6. "Then the Lord said, 'Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?'" That's a question. And he answers the question. "I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns," we're close to that, folks. "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" Wow. How many on the earth will he find who have faith? Now, if you you don't have to turn there, but if you have an Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic Bible says, who will be persistent in faith? The newer version of the AMP says persistent faith. Just because things don't seem to change on the outside, that's not reason to stop praying. That's not reason to stop believing God. God's given us the answer. When you pray and ask God for something, or you're interceding on behalf of someone else, there are two twins that work together with your faith. It's called, first one is prayer. We ask God. The Word of God tells us sometimes we have not because we don't ask. You know, we have not because we don't ask. But there's another twin that goes right along with prayer, and it's also, it begins with a P as well, and that is praise. That is praise. I want to tell you something. When we ask God for something, or we're seeking God for something, and we don't see it happening, or maybe it didn't happen exactly the way we thought it was, because sometimes we can pray for things that's not, our hearts can be right, but our head can be wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you a real simple example. You know, how many unmarried guys we have in here? Raise your hand if you're unmarried. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. We got, I see 4 right now. And now I'm not saying that you're looking for a wife. That's your business if you are. But let's just say, for example, you love God. Amen. You just love God. You're a man of God. And you walk in down the street one day. No. Let's take you off the street. You in church one Sunday or one Wednesday or some day of the week. You're in church, and you happen to look across the congregation, and you see this real beautiful woman. I mean, just a beautiful lady, and she really gets your attention. And so you think, oh wow, she is beautiful. I would love to have her as my wife, because you know I've been talking to God about a wife. So I've been praying to God about a wife. So and I believe God hear me when I pray. So I tell you what, I think she's the one. So Father, I just thank you for her, and I ask you to just cause our paths to meet, Father God, so this thing will work out. Well, now listen, your heart is right, but what you don't know about this woman is that she's beautiful, yes, but she married already. Now you're a single man, a godly man that love God, and you looking for a wife, and you even been talking to God, praying about a wife, but you saw someone that's just gorgeous, and I mean you want her for your wife, so you laid claim on her. Your heart was right, but your head was wrong. God's not going to answer that prayer. So you have to be patient and allow God to work some things out on your behalf. That's where prayer, not only prayer, but that's where praise and thanksgiving come in. She don't have to be married. She could be single. But she could break your heart, and you don't know it. How many of you know God wants what's best for us? Yeah, God wants what's best for us. So sometimes when it seems like things ain't working out, don't get mad at God, or if it seems like it's just taking long, don't get upset at God. Don't grow weary. You just keep praising God. And stay in faith. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Don't grow weary, because what happens when you grow weary? I'm gonna stop praying. I tell you, I've been waiting on God. I'm gonna go find my girl myself. And the devil says, I'm gonna help you out. And one day you do find this beautiful woman, gorgeous. You invite her out to dinner. You go to dinner, and she says, how would you like to go with me to my worship service? You thought, yes, yes, I got this, I got this. But come to find out, it's not God she worshiped. She's out there bowing to a tree. Some weird religion. No, don't get ahead of God. Don't become weary. Some folks were real disappointed because this past election did not turn out the way they thought it would. Well, we prayed, we prayed, we prayed. Things didn't happen the way we thought it was going to happen. God is still God. God is still God. God is still in control. Amen. He's still in control. And he still answers prayer. We don't understand everything. We don't understand why some things happen the way it happens. But what we're to do is stay in faith. If we'll stay in faith and continue to praise God, we are going to come out on top, because praise gives us the victory. We may not understand. We must stay in faith. are you still here?
Yes.
Amen. So rather than becoming distressed and depressed, oppressed over what's going on right now, pray. Like Brother Tony prayed Sunday morning, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that the gospel continue to have free course, because that's what folk need. See, that's the reason the Word of God tells us to pray for those that are in authority. Pray for them with thanksgiving. So that the Word of God can continually be preached and we can continue to worship God, preach the gospel around the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want you to turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm not going to get too far here. I can see that now. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there's another reason believers become weary. You know what that is? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because they associate with the wrong people. And What I'm about to read to you here is these folks are Christians. How many of you know sometimes you can't associate with certain Christians in certain things? You still here? Now, let me read verse 13, then I'll go back up. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good, right? We read that. Now, look at verse 11, same chapter, verse 11. He says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. How many of you know the people that you associate with can affect your faith? If they are constantly speaking negative things in your ears all the time. Now, here we see the Apostle Paul is saying, well, hey, wait a minute. We're hearing that there's some folks among you, they're lazy. They won't work. And what he's telling the church is, don't encourage lazy people. Let me finish reading. Now those who are such, we command you and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and do what? Eat their own bread. Let's skip 13 this time and go to 14. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with. As an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Hallelujah. I've had believers over the years that, you know, I love them, you know, but, you know, I couldn't hang with them in certain situations, because all it was is negative, 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 gossip, gossip, gossip. In other words, they were, like it's referring to here in 2 Thessalonians, they were busybodies. In other words, they were busy in everybody else's business. They were talking about what's wrong with this one and what's wrong with that one. Now, they still your brother, they still your sister, but you shouldn't be participating in that sort of stuff. Hallelujah. We shouldn't participate in that. There's a saying, misery loves company. Misery loves company. But what we're to do is admonish them, listen, brothers and sisters, this is not right. God is not pleased with this type of behavior. And now, so if you're going to continue this way, you know, I can't fellowship with you in that. I mean, I love you in the Lord. You're my brother. You're my sister. Anything I can do for you, you let me know. I'm here. I'm here for you, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. But I'm not going to participate in your sins. I'm not going to participate with you in your sin. I'm a man of God or a woman of God, and I'm not going to take a step down. But I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will convict you and that you will yield to his call to get back right. What happens if you don't? Well, you know, Pastor, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, they did wanted me to go with them down to the club. They wanted to take a drink. They say they still love Jesus, though, but they wanted to take a drink and just wanted me to come along, because they had some things they want to talk to me about and just us have some fellowship together. You better stay away. Oh, Pastor, you know, they told me they love Jesus, and I know they saved. You know, I know they saved because I was there when they got saved, and I know they saved. But they just wanted us to fellowship a little bit. So there's this new movie that's out. It's rated XX. You know, they're in and out of bed doing any ungodly thing they can think of doing, but I just decided I'd go on with them and ask forgiveness for later on. We don't do that. Guess what happens? You give a little, you cool off a little. You give a little more, you cool off a little more. After a while, you'll find yourself right where they are. All of a sudden, things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore. Things that you say, I'll never do that. Now, Lord, I ain't going back there again. And now you're in a place where you are weary. You don't know if you're going or coming. Lost your joy. Look at somebody and say, please don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Amen. I heard Jerry Savelle say this at a meeting that we were in. I think he may have written a book. I'm not sure about that. But this has been years ago. But he said, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't take your goods. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. May we make a decision that we are not going to grow weary and we are not going to fellowship with those that's pulling us away from you. And we are not going to allow ourselves to be affected by what's going on in the world.